Okay, my name is Jacqueline and my husband Raymond, and we live out on Pasqua First Nation, but we are having church out on Standing Buffalo First Nations. And that's where I originally come from, is Standing Buffalo, and Raymond comes from Pasqua. So when we got married, I transferred over to his band, and then Raymond's parents had passed away, the house, we inherited the house there. So that's where we're living. And we're just so excited to be in the ministry. We just started actually last March. My late uncle Clifton is Nana. Maybe a few of you may know him. I don't know. He was my uncle. He pastored that church for many years. And when he had passed away, we were asked to step into the pastorship, so we accepted it, and that's where we began. And originally, we were at the Almond House Ministries in Regina, and Pastor Raymond's twin brother, Edmund Jordan, he was the pastor there. And I went there for 21 years, and Raymond went there for 10 years. So we were very thankful for what God has been doing in our lives and how he's delivered us from all the things that we were once bound to. And I really believe that you will have a wonderful time listening to Pastor Raymond's story as he tells it. So God bless you.
Okay. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. It's very, very good to be here. I feel very honored to uplift the name of Jesus.
And that how sit down. I'm gonna go sit down.
That how it is so wonderful to serve a living God. And I thank God that what he's did in my life, Is that mine? Is that okay now?
Yeah.
Okay. So what I want to share today is how I dealt with unforgiveness. And sometimes, you know, something has happened in the past, an event has taken place, and it eats you, torments you. Unforgiveness or a lost loved one. But I want to share with you how Jesus sent the Holy Spirit within us. So I'm just going to pray here. Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, Lord, I feel honored to be, Lord, in the house of God here to uplift your name, to give you the glory, to give you the honor that what you have done in my life. And Father, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus, I uplift every member that is here. And Father, Lord, you said your word says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. And Father, Lord, I send the anointing of the Holy Spirit to fall on each person, every man, woman, child, youth, and that the anointing would break any stronghold. And Father, I speak victory. I speak deliverance in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I want to share a verse with you on Acts 3:2. And I was, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms that entered the temple, to them that entered the temple. And here, when I lost my eyesight, you know, and a lot of times people are spiritually crippled. They can't move forward because they're tormented, you know, of the past, some deep, deep scars in the heart. And this is where I thank the Lord for my father. My father and my mother, they were really, really stood for the word of God. And it was my dad's birthday yesterday. You know, and I just really, I thank my mom and my dad that they were interceders for their sons. And their sons were the ones that drank lots, did drugs, you know, come in a country squire, act up in there, and you know, people on the reserve would say, well, you know, this Raymond, his sons are all drunks and addicts and fighting people, and you know. But I thank God that my father never gave up. My mother never gave up. And today now, my brothers and my sister, we're all serving the Lord because of their prayer. And then as time went on, at the age of a young age, I got rebellious where I wanted to, you know, see what it was on the outside. I just wanted to. My friends became my parents because I listened to them more than my parents. And then when I left home, you know, my mom's brothers were penitentiary guys, and my brother and my family all left one by one. And we hung around with them downtown in Regina. And this is where they begin to show us the ropes of downtown. And there was two things that happened within my life where I don't want to take too much time, but I want to get to the events. The first eye I lost because of downtown with people. You know, I was with my girlfriend down there first, and I told her, I said, let's get off this life. I said, I don't like the life that I'm living here. She was hustling downtown, and I was just not doing good. Also, robberies. And so when we left the city, we wanted to serve the Lord. But I'm going to let you know, if you're going to serve God half-heartedly, it's not going to work. If you're going to have one foot in the world and one foot in the church, the Word of God says, choose this day on who you're going to serve, you know. And this is where now, as time went on, my wife, I married her at a young age, and she couldn't have kids because she was shot in the stomach, and they said she'd never ever bear children. But I remember what my father taught me, and I remember laying my hands on her. I said, Jesus, all I ask is just for one. And you know what happened? God gave us five children. But as time went on, God was beginning to show me, you know, his power. He's beginning to, you know, but because of not surrendering, if you're going to hang on to something, and if you're going to just hang on to unforgiveness or a little bit of the world, Satan's going to come back in your life, and he's coming back with others. And this is where now that as her and I, we never dealt with the things in our life. And because of issues of the past, such as unforgiveness, jealousy, not having that communication, not getting any counseling, well, what happened? We broke up. And I remember we were going for a court case, and I told my dad that I wanted to put my children in the Orange Home because I didn't want my children to see the life I was living. And what happened there was, when they went there and were going in the court case, and I won. So when I went up to John at the old Early's Hotel Church, I mean the old Early's bar, it was a bar, and I walked in there, and you know, as I grabbed the door handle, there's just like a strong sense, don't go in there. So I'm gonna tell you here, any of you here that hear a voice, to me that it was a strong sense. And if you are sitting here and God is speaking to your heart, listen. Because the Spirit of God is warning you that trouble's coming. Take heed to that. But when I grabbed that door, I said, I'll show them. I'll show them I ain't scared of them. And then when I walked into the bar and I went to the washroom, and then my ex-wife came, she's deceased now. Yeah. She came to the bathroom, and there's a man there that just got out of the penitentiary. She lied and said, I took her money. And this man was swearing and saying all kind of words. And he said, where's her money, to give her money back? And I told that man, I said, this has nothing to do with you, just with her and me and my children. This has nothing to do with you. But I didn't say it in those kind of words, eh? And so right by the bathroom, we started to fight. And by the bar, I knocked him over. But I didn't realize his brother was there. And when he came with the thickening of the poker from behind me, I just gave a blow to the side of the face here. These are glass eyes I have here. And that poker cut the eyeball in half, and it crushed in the cheekbone. And that my my wife, when she was living then, she pulled me by the hair and she booted me in the face, and the high heel pushed the eye back. You know, but I thank God that high heel didn't go to the brain, because God had his hand upon me. Because I had a father and a mother that knew how to pray, that knew how to get a hold of God. And this is where now, as they took me to the hospital, and I found out, you know, who really hit me from behind. I didn't know at the time. So this is where Satan is going to attack your mind. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 2:10, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war of the flesh. You're not fighting a human being, but you're fighting a spirit that's coming at you, that's going to attack your mind. But now you've got to know the Word of God, because you can swing, kick, you're not going to hit anything, because it's a spirit of anger, a spirit of bitterness. But the Word of God says in verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Because of the Holy Spirit in your life, the Holy Spirit will give you the power to endure, to persevere, to pull down those strongholds. Those things that come to your mind, that Satan sends those fiery darts of the past. You know, the events that took place, that it could be either anger or it could bring you into a depression. But the Word of God says in verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. At that time, I didn't know those verses. And when Satan would put that thought and those imaginations in my mind, I would just flare up in anger. And I was in the hospital for 30 days. When you're sitting in the hospital for 30 days and that's playing over and over in your mind, it's going to build a stronghold. I was raised in a Christian home, but I didn't know how to fight spiritually. And I used to sit in that hospital, and I used to just imagining shooting these people. And I was sitting, laying in the hospital. My day out, I wanted to go down to the Early's Hotel with a 303 and to shoot that man. I went to my cousin's place, and I said, can you lend me a 303? He said, what do you want it for? I said, I'm going to go to the reserve and go hunting. He said, don't lie. I know what you're going to do. I know what you're going to do. And I said, I'm glad he didn't learn it. I thank God that he didn't. So as time went on, I was still bitter and angry. It's like an event comes on top like this, and that stronghold comes from events that take place in your life that Satan wants to destroy you. Then a year later, when I got out of, I was on the run. I was on the run from doing time. And this is where I knew something bad was going to happen. And I knew that if I would have saw this other man, I knew he would have shot me. I was worried about him. And I had one eye, was my left eye. So this is where now, on June 13th, 1994, this is where I had such a fear. Listen to that. That's the Lord speaking to you. I knew something was going to happen. I just felt like danger was coming. I felt destruction was coming. And when I was laying on my bed and I looked up the ceiling and I said, God, am I going to die? I said, Jesus, I don't want to go to hell. I said, God, if I'm going to die, I said, I ask that you spare my soul because of the lifestyle I was living. And I remember my daughter that was 11 years old. And I looked down the hall, and she was there, and I got up, and I kissed my daughter on her forehead, and I said, I love you, my girl. That was the last time I saw her in the natural. And then when I looked at myself in the mirror, this is where now I could see, because of the drugs, the alcohol, my face was very dark, very because of the kidneys and the liver. And so when I got in a cab, and I went and got what I had to get, not realizing that day, that was the last time I was going to see people. That was the last time I was going to see buildings. I was going to see, I'm totally blind, I can't see nothing. These are glass eyes that you see. And then when I got there, and not realizing that they had my daughter in the next duplex, and they told my daughter, they said, if you go warn your dad, they said, they threatened to kill her. So they handed a knife down to a 14-year-old boy. They said, walk into his house, stab him in the left eye, and run. At that time, people never knew the condition I was in. When you're in a place that, under the influence of drugs and alcohol, somebody could have just pushed me and I'd fall over. I didn't know what was happening. All I see was this tall young boy coming. And all I seen was a flash. I didn't know I was hit with a knife. I jumped up. I started swinging, kicking at every person that came near me until the handcuffs came on me. And this is where now I knew that I was safe because the police were there. As they took me to the hospital, I didn't know I was hit with a knife. And I told that doctor to stitch it up. I said, in my heart, I really wanted to hurt these people because what they did, but not realizing what happened. That doctor told me, he says, it's possible. He said, you're not going anywhere. It's impossible. You may never see. He said, you got hit with a knife, and the knife went right through the retina. It cut the eye, the retina, right in half, inside, and his left eye, the knife did. And he said, you're not going anywhere. And then I sat and I said, what? This is where shock came. Blind? No. No, I say, this can't be true. What? Blind? No. No. I was saying that because every nerve within me was screaming no. But this is where, you know, just when the drugs and the alcohol wore off, this is where everything just started just to bombard my mind. Everything started to hit me. And then when my mom and dad would come, my family would say, my dad and my mom, they'd be sitting at the bed there, at the end of the bed, tears were coming down their face. It affected my whole family. It really affected my brothers, my sister, and my mom and dad. I tried to act like I was okay. I tried to act like I was solid and just saying, Lana, I'm all right, I'm okay. But when 8 o'clock came and everybody left, the tears came down. The brokenness was there. To realize that I'm blind, not going to see. And this is where now, when I was in the hospital 2 weeks later, the police came in there and they told me, Raymond, your daughter's been abused. She is raped. And it was like it stuck another knife within me. I said, what? I said, hey, I was swearing at those police officers. Get out of here. I said, I don't need to hear this because I was going through a lot already. But when they just left, but then when I sat there and I said, no, my daughter, that even put the hatred, the murder, the bitterness in my heart. I wanted to kill these people, but I couldn't because I was blind. I thought for my daughter, would she come and see me? And I was trying to feed myself. I was hitting myself in the face. And she said, Daddy, she said, I'll feed you. And when she was feeding me, I can just imagine what she must have went through. Tears were coming down my face. I grabbed that spoon and I threw it. I cursed and I was not in front of them, but inside I was. Because I felt for my daughter. I felt for myself. Now, on my discharge, I was in there for another month. On my discharge, two police officers came there. And my mom was there, and they said, Raymond, they said, you have been discharged, you're now under arrest. And I had people that really wanted to hurt me, that really wanted to really hurt me bad. And as they're taking me out of the hospital, I remember my mom was, she was crying, I could hear her. And she's later on, I heard she's kind of staggering because of her sugar diabetes. But as they took me to the correctional center, and I knew, I said, God, I said, if these people want their chance, they have their chance now. And this is where I knew that this person that was leading me did not like me. I just knew it. And this person just led me. They put me on West G. And when they closed those cell doors, I felt the peace. I felt the peace that came in that cell. I knew I had to do time, but I knew I was going to get out. And then I knew, I said, Lord, I said, when I go to the front, I said, they're going to have their time there because all the inmates are in front. And when they took me in front, and I was expecting the worst. But when those guards put those handcuffs on me, I'm telling you, it just about started a riot right there. Because those inmates were swearing. What are you trying to do? Handcuff the blind person. Where's he going to run? Where's he going to go? They took him right off. The word of God says that he'll make his enemies at peace with you. When you give your life to the Lord, and when you just say, God, I give you my all, your enemies are going to be at peace with you. That man that was leading me, I knew that man did not like me, but did say nothing. He led me. But I thank God. And when I stood before that judge said, time served in the hospital. And my twin brother was out there. He's worried about me. And then that's where, You know, the RCMP was supposed to take me to the RCMP barracks in Regina, but they took me to the correctional center. But you know what? God had his hand upon me. Why? I had praying parents. I had a praying mom and dad. And my twin brother was serving the Lord then. As time went out then, because of not knowing that word of God, and I'm telling you, if you are struggling here, if you are going through things, you have got to know that word of God. You have got to apply that word of God to the situation, and you're going to watch the anointing of the Holy Ghost just break. Break every attack of the enemy. And this is where now I begin to, you know, want to serve the Lord, but still trying to hang on to common law. It'll never work. And it never did. But when I came to a place, because I backslid, really hardcore into cocaine, because of a lot of trauma that happened. Now Satan would attack your mind, he'll remind you. So every morning I would wake up with unforgiveness. And if anybody here has unforgiveness, and you say, yeah, but you don't know what I went through, I'm going to tell you, if God can do this for a blind man, he can do that for you. You don't know how blessed you are to have those eyes you got. But there's one thing, that's one thing that I knew. When I began to know this man called Jesus, I began to see the cross. I began to know that when Jesus said it is finished and bowed his head and gave up the ghost, he destroyed the spirit of hatred, of murder, of unforgiveness, of low self-esteem. All these things were bombarding my mind where Satan was saying, take your life. I began to rebuke all these things in the name of Jesus because I come to a place where I was tired of living the way I was. And I remember now what my father taught us about this man called Jesus. Everything you tell your children, the Holy Spirit will bring it back to their remembrance. When you think your prayers are in vain, or if you think it looks hopeless, that devil's a liar, because I'm standing here today as proof that when the prayer goes forth, when you begin to pray the elders for the children, your prayer is going to the throne of God. Your prayer is, you know, the angels of God have to be obedient. You know, the angels of God have to be obedient to the word of God. So when you pray, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would go, that the angels of God would go and watch my children wherever they are, that no harm or evil would come upon them. When the prayer goes to the throne of God, God is saying, go, my prayer, go, but the word has been spoken. There's a man, a grandmother, a grandfather that's praying for their children, go. And that angel goes, because the word was spoken. And then as time went on, and I began to know how I had to deal with these things, I began to learn how to come to a place of surrender. When you begin to tell the Lord how you pray, how you feel. In Ephesians 6:18 says, pray with all prayer. There's all kind of prayers. You could say, Jesus, this is bothering me. I have this hatred. I have this unforgiveness. I keep falling in the same bondage. Nobody knows about this sin, but this is happening behind closed doors. I don't like what I do. And then all of a sudden you begin to worship. Church, that's a way that you're going to defeat the enemy. It's when you begin to raise your hands and when you get to say, Jesus, Father, Lord, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I give you praise. I give you glory. And Father, Lord, your word says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. But Father, God, when you raised Jesus from the dead, Jesus, you went to the Father to send the Holy Spirit to live within us, that the Holy Spirit is going to help us to endure, to persevere, and that the Holy Spirit is going to help us to be an overcomer. Then all of a sudden, brother, you're going to begin to speak the word of God. You're going to begin to say, in the name of Jesus, I bind that spirit of anger, that spirit of jealousy, that spirit of hatred. And I thank God for the blood. And what Jesus was saying, behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And now, you know, you got to take action. You got to begin to stomp on those spirits that have you in bondage, that unforgiveness, that hatred, that bitterness. And then when you go back to worshiping God, you're going to see the glory come down. You're going to see the burden lift. Everything is going to break because Jesus showed up. The anointing of God is going to break. And today you're going to speak victory. You're going to speak deliverance. You're going to speak healing in the name of Jesus. And today now, when it says, when Peter said, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I speak to every person that is here that their spirit would arise in the name of Jesus, that they would walk in Jesus' name. And then that verse 8 says, that lame man says, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them. How does that verse go, Jacqueline?
Entered with them into the temple.
And leaping and walking and praising God. And I begin to weep. I was crying. I was dancing because the burden was broken. The burden was lifted. The hatred, the bitterness, the low self-esteem. I thank God today because when Jesus said, it is finished, he destroyed Satan of all his powers. And now today, church, you're looking at a man that's free. You're looking at a man that has forgiveness. You're looking at a man that walks in the fruit of the Spirit because of the anointing of God that's in me. That's the Holy Spirit. And now today, that man that hit me with the pool cue, I shook his head and I forgave him. But before that, I said, Jesus, I need to know what it is to have that forgiveness. Father, you said in John 14:14, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Father, Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that I will have that forgiveness. And church, it happened. It may not, you may not feel it. You may feel that hatred, that bitterness, that resentment at the time. But you begin to thank Jesus that you're free. I begin to thank God that he set me free from cocaine without being dope sick, without going through the rituals. But now, when the word of God says that he come to set the captive free. And I thank God today that when I went to Jesus broken and I said, Jesus, I give this cocaine to you. I give this anger, this unforgiveness, I give it to you. And Jesus, this destroyed everything. Destroyed it. And the man that hit me, that young man, 21 years, I come to face to face with him. And my son, my youngest son, I went to go see him. I was with my wife. I didn't tell my wife that, you know, what was going on, but I knew she was okay. My son, my youngest son that I love so much, that was his half-brother, that hit this eye. And this is where the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me. See, now I've been serving the Lord now. And this is where now I told my son, where's your brother? Daddy's upstairs. I said, take me up there. Him and I have something, you know, we have to talk about. And I could feel my son being a little nervous. Then as he took me upstairs and I said, son, where is he? Daddy's in front of you. And then this is where I didn't say, you know what? You know what you did? I didn't say that. The Bible says that we need to use wisdom. And this is where I said, I want you to know, I said his name, if I have done anything wrong to you, I said, I want you to forgive me. Because the Father said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What they did to Jesus. And I remember crying, I was angry, my emotions were high with all this hate. And I said, Jesus, I need to know that forgiveness. I need to know that forgiveness. And I'm asking you. And so when I came, and when I went upstairs, he was across me. I said, if I've done anything wrong, I said, I want you to forgive me. And I said, and I forgive you for what you've done. And he said, thanks. Thanks. Thanks, he said. Every time, Raymond, I saw you, I wanted to tell you how sorry I was. Every time I saw you, I just couldn't face you, I'd run. But when I went up there, our freedom, and I felt things lift because restoration came, that the love of God came, that when I asked the Father to show me that forgiveness. And if you are struggling with unforgiveness, you're looking at a man here that went before the throne of God and that was able to forgive this guy, this man. I couldn't do it on my own strength, but it was the Holy Spirit that was in me. The Holy Spirit is going to give you the endurance, the perseverance, that you're going to be able to fight whatever you're going through. You're going to have the boldness. And anytime the Holy Spirit is going to give you that boldness. So, as my son was taking me downstairs, I told him, I said, my boy, I said, that's forgiveness. He said, Dad, I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of you. And that was in May 13th, 2015. Then I knew how to fight spiritually. And then 12 days later, I get a knock on the door. It's the city police. And they said, Mr. Jordan, they said, are you here by yourself? I said, no, my wife is here. Can you go get her? I need to talk to you. I told my wife, I said, come on. I said, they want to talk with us. So we sat down, and the city police officer said, Mr. Jordan, says, I give you my condolence, my sympathy. Your son just passed away. I said, what? Your son just passed away. I was in shock. I just made things right with this guy. Man, all these things are coming back to me. I just made things right with this guy. Now you took my son's life. Satan will attack you. He'll bring the past back to you. But you've got to remember one thing. You're not alone. Jesus is with you. He's going to carry you across. And when we're at the wake, I was on my band office there. And I was at my son's coffin. And I just broke down. I told my wife, you have to take me out of here. I got to go to him and tell him I got to be alone. Because I just made things right with this guy. I just forgave him. Now, Satan wants to just put the pressure on. Why? Because God is going to use you in a great way. That's why he's coming after you. He wants to stop you. Because if you're not serving God, there's nobody going to go to heaven. But you can be an effect to a lot of people. So Satan is going to put the pressure on you. But remember, the Holy Spirit is going to help you to endure and persevere. Then when I went back to my room, I was just really in shock. I was just really broken. I went before the throne of God. And I just felt so broken. Couldn't understand why this happened. But you know what? That's what the Holy Spirit said, but the Comforter. The Word of God says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. That is a promise. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's the Word of God. In a time of trouble, in a time of sorrow, in a time of brokenness. And I felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit in that room. I began to say, God, I need strength. God, when I go and stand, you know, before my First Nation and begin to, you know, just to, you know, I need that strength. I can't fall to pieces. And I thank God that the Holy Spirit is within us. And when I went to the wake and I stood up there in the band hall, was just packed up, I said, the man that took my son's life, the man that blinded me, I said, I forgive that man. That is the love of God. That is a powerful testimony, church. That's the anointing of God. Why? Because I love God. Even though all the things that you're going through, the past, the loneliness that you're going through, just remember that loneliness is going to draw you closer to God. And now when I begin to know, when these things begin to come back, and now I'm going to close with this. The Word of God says in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When you begin to speak the Word of God over the situation, and I say, God, today, I'm going to be strong in the Lord. Today, I'm not going to walk in my might, but your might. Put on the whole armor of God that he may be able to withstand in an evil day. And today, God, I put on that armor of God. With prayer, with the word, with fasting. And I come against every attack of the enemy. I bind it and I loose it in the name of Jesus. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I bind every spirit, every tormenting spirit. I take authority over it in the name of Jesus. Your spirit of anger, your spirit of bitterness, your spirit of unforgiveness, I bind you and I command you to loose in the name of Jesus. And I give you praise. Lord, I give you glory. I thank you for the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood. When you said it is finished, you destroyed Satan on the cross of Calvary. And today, Jesus, I walk in victory. I walk in deliverance. I walk in healing. Yes. That's the God I serve. Yes. You are a testimony. And now today, I give God the praise and the glory because I see in the Spirit. God has blessed me to see in the Spirit. I see visions. I go on fast, long fast. I made an oath with God once a year. I would do that. God begins to speak to me, shows me things. Why? Because I want to reach out for the souls. I want to reach out for souls because people, you know, if you are there, maybe that's their last chance is you to ever know who Jesus is. And I thank God today what he has done. You know, when Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give unto you, give unto thee. My mind went blank there. But the verse I want to go into here is Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And now, this is my closing here. And now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were ignorant. Read that verse, Jacqueline.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
So how many of people know that you've been with Jesus? And when I see my addict friends, they'd say, you know what, I'm going to take a picture of you. Man, they said, you look good. I'm going to show you, said these people, how you look now. I'd never seen them for a couple of years. But I was cleaned up. And then the verse 14 says, behold him, the man which was healed, standing with them. They could say nothing against it. This man was healed from all those things. And so now you hear, God is no respecter person. You don't know how blessed you're here till you look at somebody else, those eyes you have. You're blessed to read that word. You're blessed when you need help, you'll just get up and you'll just go. When I need help, I'm going through things, I know how to call on the name of Jesus. I know how to worship God. I know how to speak the word of God over the situation. And the last miracle that God did for me was he healed me from, what's that cancer, Jacqueline? Prostate?
Yeah,
prostate cancer. My wife and I was in a lot of pain. And I remember this doctor, Fort Capel here, he says, when a doctor puts your hand on your lap, that's not good news. And my doctor said, Raymond, he says, I'm sorry. And they sent me to see a specialist. But my wife and I, we stayed in prayer. Because the pain was getting, it was getting worse. But you know what? When we went back to a specialist, they said, there's nothing there. God healed me.